Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. Thanks for listening to Around the House with Eric G. podcast. This is where we talk home improvement all week long. We've got a fun show in this segment here. We're going to be talking about some of those appliance tricks. If you're out there doing that Memorial Day shopping, there are some tricks that you need to know so you can get the best deal. And you might be surprised by some of these because this is stuff that nobody talks about. And then we're going to talk about Mount St. Helens for a minute too, of why I always carry dust masks because I got to ride that out as a kid. And so much more. Make sure you listen to hour two coming up after this one because we've got David Applebaum, host of American Mansion, talking about Elon Musk's house. But enough of me talking. Let's get to the show.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please.
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the, go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to
Stop It! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Bodder.
Man, we got a big show ahead of us today, don't we?
Oh, that's going to be a good one. We've got one of my favorite guests on today.
I know it, and it's one of those that it's just shocking. And it started out last week, and this is not going to happen this hour. So we're talking about hour two here. But here's the thing. When we were sitting there chatting last week, I was watching the Joe Rogan podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Rogan from time to time, and so I was listening to that because Elon Musk was on there.
Yep, again, and the last time he was on there, made national headlines.
Always newsworthy. Something always happens, so it's always like, all right, what's this train wreck going on today? Let's take a look at that. So I go take a peek at it, and I'm listening to it, and I'm like, that's the house that David Applebaum designed, because he's telling stories about this house that he got, and then it's across the street from Gene Wilder's place, and I'm like, that's David's house. So I sent the podcast over to David and went, you need to check this out. Didn't tell him why. Just said, it's fascinating. Listen to it. And all of a sudden he posted up like a couple hours later going, that's the house. And I'm like, there we go. I mean, it's
funny. The house that he designed, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, he designed, and we will talk about this in hour number two in detail. And I know you haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but it is fascinating when you design a house for royalty. For the Queen of England.
Yes.
And we dive into the toilet room, which is fascinating to me that there's a guard shack type thing in the house to guard the toilet room for the Queen that no one else is allowed into.
And like her own, okay.
It's her own throne room.
It's just these little intricacies. And the reason that I really like David is he's an amazing storyteller.
Oh,
so
yeah.
when you can get him going on these just the story, the events that he's done, everything that he's done, it's always, always a good interview.
Dave and I can sit there and we can sit there for hours and talk. And because it's fascinating, we both love design. And so it's really cool. So here's what we did for hour number two, just so you guys understand out there. We would sit there and basically I cut the hour long, you know, interview that I had with him, because what I wanted to do is I don't like stopping David. David is such a good storyteller, and him and I both kind of round back and forth with stuff. I really wanted to let him just roll.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut it into the radio show. So you'll understand it. But next week here on the midweek special on Wednesday, I'm going to put the whole thing up so you can hear it. And so if you want to fast forward to the first few minutes of it, great, because you'll have heard that during the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't cut stuff out. I just wanted to kind of keep this as a storytelling session. There's a lot more to the story. And so you'll want to catch that Wednesday. Just head over to aroundthehouseonline.com. You can catch it there, or Apple, Google, Spotify, any one of those different places, you'll be able to grab it out there. But long story short, you'll have it there to listen to. And so I want this story to be told because it's a fascinating one.
Well, it's stuff that, I mean, people from time, for me at least, like a fleeting, like, oh man, that's curious. Like, what does the Queen of England want in her house? What are the specific small little details that she wants in there?
I will say there's 14 garbage disposals, and we'll leave it at that.
Are there 14 kitchens?
Well, let's talk about that in hour number two. All right. Well, I wanted to talk today. It's about something. I wanted to give you a deep dive kind of into appliances, because we are coming up on the Memorial Day weekend sales.
Oh, yeah.
They are, you know, we're in that sales right now. So I wanted to give you some tips out there and let you know kind of how the appliance industry works, because it's not something that's told a lot about. And it's an interesting one, and it's somewhat controversial at times as well. And I've got a lot of friends in the appliance industry. I have sold cabinets with appliances and stuff over the years, so I've seen this very well. But if you're out shopping for appliances, I want you to really pay attention to these things, because there are some rules out there that as a consumer, you probably are not aware of. Rule number one, many appliance companies have MAP pricing, which is the minimum advertised price.
Okay.
So if you are, let's say you're Miele appliances, and I love Miele appliances. They have make some of the best dishwashers. But if you have dishwasher model A101, and I'm making things up here with this, and your minimum advertised price is $999, if another dealer out there sells it below that $999, mm-hmm. they could lose their ability to sell that product.
Because it's basically a contract, right?
Well, they have a contract. A lot of these appliances have this, where there is a minimum advertised price. And so unless they register it as a open box or a damaged markdown or something like that.
Not brand new.
That's why when you get on and start looking, you're like, why is everybody the exact same price? Because they've done that to protect the dealers. So what they've done is they've wanted to make sure that all of the dealers out there are selling it at the same price. Now, do some people call that price fixing? Absolutely, they do. Now, it's an interesting way to do that. I am not a lawyer. I don't pretend to play one on the radio. So I didn't even want to go down that road. But it is something that you see where they tell the dealers what the price is, and at the minimum price, and they can't sell it below that number to protect the rest of the dealers.
Now, so, I mean, I'm just getting into logistics here. It's minimum advertised price. So that's the amount that they're allowed to advertise for. They're not allowed to even sell that for a lower price, even like most throw of them, in a discount or anything.
Most of them are not allowed to do that. Now, you will see, and I've seen this before, because it's gotten interesting. When I was last working in the appliance industry, I was working over for the DeWills family years ago here. Geez, when I first moved to Portland, I worked there a little bit. And what some of the appliance companies would let us do, and I'm going to talk about this because they're now not selling appliances, but what they would let us do over there is they would let us sell below enough to be equal to the Portland price, because they would let us take that tax rate off in the number so we could eat the tax price. So if I was selling that in Vancouver, Washington, which is across the river from Portland, Oregon, mm-hmm. right across the river, but they've got let's say a 9% sales tax,
yep.
Oregon doesn't have it. So they would kind of give us a wink and a nod of getting away with it. A lot of the brands would, that we could sell that at an equal price to compete with the lower price over there. So they would let us eat the sales tax.
So basically, I mean, just lay it. So they would lower the actual cost of the value a little, like the 9% or whatever, and then use the taxes to get it up to that minimum advertised price.
Correct. They would let us compete that way. And that's how we used to get away with that.
Yeah, but you can't do that.
You can't really do that. And so that's one of the things that we used to get away with and to try to compete, because, you know, when you're in an area that has a zero sales tax, it's already 9% cheaper across the river. Mm-hmm. A lot of people go across the river to buy things.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen it for years.
Oh, yeah. And so, I mean, it's one of those things that happens all the time. So it's just one of those things that I want you to think about before you go out searching for that, is that if you're going out getting frustrated going, Why is everything the same price? That's why.
Why can't I find a good deal?
Yeah. Now, when you get in along the home centers, and I want to talk about this in the next segment. You see a lot of things where model numbers now are not the same because there's a lot of people out there, you know, that it used to be 10 or 15 years ago in the home center wars that you would see the price match guarantees. We'll beat that price by 5%.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big Eagle Hardware thing. You know, we have the best price or we'll beat it by 5%. Well, companies started to get smart with that on home improvement. So you would see the model numbers that went into Eagle Hardware would be different than the ones at Home Depot or even Lowe's or other,
they're selling other different products.
They had a slightly different model number because it was yours. And so that way you couldn't be model number to model number and you'd be in trouble. And so it wouldn't actually be the same one. And so that was another trick that you would see people do back in the days because they would get, oh yeah. And GE was good at that back in the day that they would sit there and go, oh yeah, we're going to add an extra S or an F or something in there. And it's, well, it's not the same.
Yeah.
Could be the same thing, but it's not. We'll talk about more about appliances when Around the House returns. Single weekend. Thanks for joining us. Of course, I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
All right, brother. We've been talking appliances here, but first off, I want you to everybody head over to Facebook, aroundthehouseonline.com. And
that's the website.
Sorry. You see, this is what happens when the producer is not sitting here pulling my strings because it's just one of those things. If you go to aroundthehouseonline.com, that is our website where you can catch the podcast and all that other stuff. And we've got our store there. We've got lots of different stuff. But if you want to do a little bit more and head to Facebook, that's Around the House with Eric G. And it's the same with Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, all those different things. You can find us all on there. With our dailies I've been doing, if you want to see my daily tips, that's where you can grab those. Those little video daily tips are a one-minute tip. You can catch on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Mm-hmm. And we're doing something, you know, weekdays every single day. So if you want a little DIY tip, jump on it there. It's been wildly popular. I've been surprised how much Instagram and all those things have been growing. We get hundreds of likes on that stuff a day, which is fun.
Absolutely. It's definitely starting to gain some traction. But hey, if you have a question for us, we'd love to answer it. Our number here in the studio is 971-233-8992. That is a number you can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're going to leave a message and your name, what the issue is, and a number to call you back, and we will call you back and record it.
You got it. We want to see you as part of the show. Well, we've been talking about appliances here, and one of the things I really wanted to talk about is now that we're in the Memorial Day sales, I wanted to talk about kind of, we have the rules of how people can sell appliances with a lot of these different companies. Now you're going to see the special buys.
And this kind of relates back to the last, so, and this is something I'm curious about.
Yeah.
So we were talking about minimum advertised pricing. Does that price itself go down from the manufacturer for these sales?
Many times what you'll see with a brand is that they will come out with a specific model number.
Ah, that will be for sale the,
and you'll
that
see,
weekend.
You'll see like at Home Depot or Lowe's or Best Buy, and it'll be special buy. So that's how they get around that is okay. That they've now taken their model, maybe put a little bit different model number on it. Or if it's a big enough retailer, they've created a special product in that. And now all of a sudden that special buy is what it is. And so now that's where you'll see $400 off a unit or something like that. That's what those are. And so they've created that special buy to get you there, which is kind of interesting because, you know,
there's a lot of these little tricks of the trade out there. And this is where I'm going to say the first thing that, you know, if you would have listened to the show 4 years ago with me and Handyman Bob on here, you would have heard me bashing on certain brands.
Yeah.
I didn't pull any punches.
No.
Because I had some horrible consumer and designer experiences with brands like LG and Samsung. I did. I mean, when I was over there at one of the retailers I work for, we had a back room filled with one of those brands' refrigerators because they were having ice maker issues, and the ice makers were coming out of South Korea, but they didn't have any parts to fix them in the U.S. And so you'd have, you know, again, somebody's name made up. Mrs. Smith would go in and buy a $2,000 refrigerator, get it delivered. They'd go to hook up the ice maker, and the ice maker wouldn't work. Well, who's going to accept that refrigerator when they can't get it to work?
No,
so it'd come back. Defective. They'd get another one out there. Maybe that one would work. They had a dozen fridges in the back that they couldn't deliver that were unboxed, that were broken.
Does that ever get recalled on that model?
It wasn't a recall. It just was bad out of the factory. Yeah. Just never worked right. And then, these were all things that were covered under normal warranty. And so at the time, if you had a KitchenAid or a GE or a Frigidaire, that, you know, repair would come out the next week and they'd put a new part in, you're good to go. It's dialed in. It's perfect. And so that's kind of what happened. And then you would see, other problems that you would see is that, you know, the washers and dryers, the front loads, had some serious structural issues in them. Like they would make the back piece, and you know how a front load washer spins very fast.
Oh yeah.
That back cradle that kind of held that drum in space, well, so it could spin, was either made out of cast iron or another steel, and it would kind of rot away back there. Because you'd never see it, and it was always immersed in water.
Yeah, and you don't think about it.
You don't think about it. Well, then it would let go, and the drum would almost come out of the washer itself. And so you'd have almost a washer explosion. And then if it broke the pipes or anything else around it, you had a bigger mess. Problem. And so there was a lot of issues that happened back then. And I just, quite frankly, during those years, were like, stay away from it. You know, now I'm not concerned about that. Those are actually two of the more reliable brands out there. And other brands who I really love have become less reliable. You know, I love Gen Air, but some of their recent reliability stuff with their new stuff came out, they got hammered on because you also have to think too. You know, when you're talking washers and dryers, for instance, the most reliable ones out there are always like Speed Queen. Because they've made the same dang washer and dryer for 40 years, and it's got six options. You know, if you don't have the option on it and it doesn't break, and you just have a speed control, and you don't have the Wi-Fi steam, whatever you want to throw on it.
Bells and whistles.
All the bells and whistles are just more options to break. Now, you know me, I love features. Absolutely. I love all those things, you know, and so I want to test stuff out. So I'm always going to go for the higher end ones. But that also puts me in a position of having a product that's more likely to break.
Yeah.
You know,
well, there's just more parts that could be broken.
And so when you start thinking about that, you know, you got to be careful with some of those things. And, you know, I'm always torn on extended warranties. You'll see that as well. And that's one of the things that we'll talk about here in this next segment, because extended warranties can be really smart, because what happens is a lot of these manufacturers, you'll see a sticker for, you know, 5, 8, 10 year warranty, but you got to really look at it, because many times it's like, whoa, full parts and labor, 6 month, parts 1 year, you know, drum or motor or something else, 8, 10 years. And so those are things that you really got to be careful with, that I want you to do the research on before you do it. We'll talk about that and more just as soon as Around the House returns.
Farewell, Angelina! and you're listening to Around the House with Eric G. It goes down so smooth. Ooh, it makes me want to pour gold in this glass, 'cause that color red never looks so good, so good.
Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every weekend. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
We've been talking appliances, man, but first I want to remind everybody, head over to Facebook, Around the House with Eric G. And I want you to also, when you're listening to the podcast, because this podcast is crazy. I mean, it's wild, the people across the world that catch us.
Yeah, it's not just the nation. It is surprising our worldwide numbers.
I mean, thank you to Canada. Thank you to Japan. Denmark. Japan, you are crushing it out there. I always
loving
laugh. I'm like, Japan, how do we have more listeners in Japan than in Canada? And Canada, thank you.
Absolutely,
know?
Yeah.
And so it's been amazing to see the different people out there. We see you. So I just wanted to let you know, thank you for catching us on the podcast. And some of these listeners out there, it's mind-blowing.
Well, hey, and it doesn't matter where you are. If you have any, any requests or tips or any sort of anything that you would like to ask us, head over to the website, aroundthehouseonline.com. Go to contact us. Send us an email. We'd love to correspond with you.
Ah, the farthest ones away?
Absolutely. I want to know what they want to hear. That's what I want to know.
And by the way, do you know that I actually designed kitchens in Japan from the States?
This is something we might want to talk about in a future show, because I kind of want to know, and it's the same thing that we're going to be talking about with David Applebaum coming up here in the next hour, is what different people want in their homes. What do people find, super, what do they hold on to? What do they cherish and what do they want in there?
Yeah, and we'll talk about that, but when it comes to Japan, I mean, mm-hmm. I love doing that, and I was doing it in a really hard time because it was kind of the eve of the internet, because it was like 2003.
So it's all strictly basically email.
Yeah, it was mostly email. There was not a lot of, it was pretty rough back then. And so we would be emailing back and forth, and I was selling kitchens to Japan.
Sending over, drawings and stuff.
Drawings, getting approvals, making changes, and so it was pretty crazy doing that. So
that's something we might want to delve into here in the next few weeks.
We'll dive into that here. That'll be a lot of fun. So, I wanted to wrap up kind of our appliance mm-hmm. topic, because, we've been talking about that. And really, extended warranties, I can kind of take it or leave it with extended warranties. It's always a risk. But if you look at it, here's the thing. If you're paying a couple hundred bucks for an extended warranty, problem is that's for a year. And this is where I get mentally stuck on extended warranties. You'll be standing there talking to an appliance store and they'll go, hey, you want to buy the 5-year service plan or even the 1-year plan. They'll go, hey, you want an extended warranty on that? It'll get you an extended 1 year of parts and labor.
So, okay, I don't mean to cut you off. I don't see the point in buying a 1-year warranty on something that's new. If it's Same. New, it should not need a 1-year, 5 or 10, absolutely, but a 1-year, that thing should See? Not break in the first year.
Well, you've already got the warranty for maybe 6 months of the first year.
A year and a half still.
Yeah, year and a half, same thing. I'm looking at that going, man, I just don't see that. Especially with most washers and dryers where you've got a lifespan of, 10 or 15 years out of it. Year 3, man, maybe.
Service,
maybe, And so that's where you got to be really careful with that, do I buy Apple Care for my iPhone? Absolutely, because I know there's a chance. I've only had to do it once, but, I tested the waterproofing on it when I was back with Greenworks Power Tools. And, iPhones, an iPhone 10 that was a couple years old because I bought it right when I was out new, didn't do as well whitewater rafting as I thought it would. just didn't take it. Thank you, Apple Care. We got it fixed. So that's one of those things that I think in the right situation, but I don't know, washers and dryers, I'm not sure if I'd do that or not. And I know we'll probably get some mail both ways on that one, but some people are extended warranty people, some people aren't. Oh. And just do some math with that and figure out what that service call is going to be, because that could be a couple hundred bucks for a service call. And if you kept that from happening, it might save you some money in the long run, but you got to make sure it's worth the while.
Well, especially if you've got to weigh the cost of both. If you say maybe over 5 years, you're maybe going to service it once, maybe twice. What's that? How much is typically that run?
Yeah. You know, it's going to be a couple hundred bucks for somebody to come out.
Well, and compare that to the warranty. And is it worth it? Would you rather just pay the upfront cost to come get it serviced? Or do you think that you're really going to need it over 5 years? One thing I do want to touch on before we kind of shift topics here is lifetime warranties. We've talked about this time and time again. It is, and just something to quickly touch on, it is not your lifetime. It is the
lifetime of the product.
Lifetime of the product.
Always be careful of that. People are, I got a lifetime warranty on my kitchen cabinets. Well, lifetime's 10 years. Read the fine print. Take a look at that. So it's one of those things you got to be really careful.
Just know what you're getting into.
Well, this last week we're going to shift topics here. This last week it just kind of brought back some memories because here in Portland, I'm a lifelong Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up here, you know, and I remember May 18th, 1980 with Mount St. Helens.
Well, and I mean, a lot of people outside of the Pacific Northwest, from what I understand, again, I this was 9 years before I was born.
Yeah, you weren't even a thought.
But from what I understand is the ash clouds went all across the country. Like, everyone kind of knew this
thing
happened. They did.
And so I told a little bit of this story on social media, and I'll tell you why when I'm done with the story here about why it kind of made a difference to me, is that I was out at the antique car swap meet in the Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington, building number 2, and it was Sunday morning, and I'm in this metal building in the fairgrounds, and I'm sitting there with my dad because we always did the car swap meet stuff. He was selling auto parts. We were a car family, and so I was doing that. Well, I remember the weirdest sounding sonic boom.
Wow.
Explosion kind of, you know, and shook the building. You could feel it.
What, you're 200 miles away?
Yeah. And I'm like, huh. Well, my dad worked out at the Hanford Nuclear Reservation, and he thought maybe...
Something may have happened.
And I'm not going to speak for him. I don't know what his thoughts were, but he thought, I think, that something had happened back there. And he looks at me and he goes, I got to go to the payphone. I'll be back. Watch the booth. And I remember him kind of looking at me horrified, like, that sounded like a nuclear explosion.
Something big.
Something big happened. Yeah. And so he ran off, and I've never seen my dad kind of with big eyes like that. You ever to this day, and he's since passed, but it was one of those things where he took off and I was like, huh, that was memorable. Wonder what that's about.
That feeling you don't forget.
No. So he came back jogging back to the booth probably 5 to 10 minutes later. I wasn't really paying attention at the time because I had people coming up, but I was wheeling and dealing on auto parts at age 10.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there and he comes up and he goes, we got to go pack it up. I'm like, Dad, this goes till like 2. He's like, Mount St. Helens exploded. We need to get home before the ash cloud gets here. This is bad. We have to go. And he literally pulls his truck and up there and he goes, get everything in the truck as fast as we can.
Yep.
He goes, we're packing up, go. And I'm like, what? All right, got it. So we packed up. I remember on the way home looking, you know, we pull out of the fairgrounds. It was only 20 minutes probably to get
everything
get home.
Packed up.
I can't remember how long it took, probably 20 minutes, half hour to get packed up. We had tables and stuff, and you know, it's like packing up a yard sale in the back of a truck. You gotta, you know, do it quick. Well, we get everything packed up, and I remember looking out, and it's just like I see movies today. I'm like, oh yeah, that looks. It was these black and silver and gray rolling clouds that looked like they were alive, and it was horizon to horizon rolling at you, and it was like, oh wow. So I remember pulling up in the driveway just as soon as it started snowing dirt and ash.
So were you able to see, like, looking to the west, seeing it come your way, or was it already engulfed?
No, basically? It was a rolling, like a wave coming at you. And so I remember that as a kid going, whoa, that's cool. And so we ended up doing that, and we get in the driveway, and my dad's like, don't even unpack it, just we're staying inside. He's like, stuff's safe out in the back under the canopy.
Okay, you know, it was at least under
canopy,
something.
It was fine. He's like, nope, it's back there, it's good. Okay, cool. So we do that, and we get inside the house, and I remember it was about noon the streetlights started coming on, and I'm like...
because it's getting dark.
It's that dark. And then we got, you know, a couple inches of ash overnight, just through the day.
Wow.
Of just, you know, and then all the cars started blowing up. Well, I remember because we ended up having to go out and go to school and stuff, and school got called out and things like that. Because not enough people had dust masks. Sounds like recently,
sounds
right?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. So I remember my dad had some in the and I remember as a kid not being able to go out and play with my friends because I didn't have a dust mask. And so from that day on, whenever I've had home improvement stuff, I've had a dust mask. And it's one of those things that's good to be prepared. We'll talk about more about that just as soon as Around the House returns. Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. I'm Eric G.
I'm producer Dane Vodder.
Oh, you're producer right now.
Yeah, right. I mean,
you're always producer. There we go. Fair enough.
I mean, yes.
Yes. Well, thanks, Captain Obvious. You're right. Okay, yeah, you exactly. Got me there. Well, here's the thing. That was a little bit of Liliac. I love those guys.
They're so good.
I love those guys. I'm bummed because their concert got canceled this summer.
I know. They were coming to at least our neck of the woods, literally, because it was, I'm pretty sure, a concert that's like out in the woods.
Yeah.
I really wanted to go see them.
I know. I was looking forward to that because they play such a great part of the show. And we thank them for the support as well because, you know, we've got a lot of friends in the show here and all these people help us with the music and stuff. And we really appreciate all of that.
Absolutely. And next time they come out our way, like once, you know, all of this is over, we'll be there.
We will be there. Yes. That's one of those things that we'll be popping out there and having a good time with them. Well, you know, I was just telling my Mount St. Helens story. And the reason why I wanted to tell this story and we ended up cutting out to break is that I really want people to think about some lessons learned out of this whole thing that we've been dealing with. And this is not going to be some big COVID thing here, but we all need to be a little bit better prepared. Now, some of you are way prepared for anything.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. But most people are not. And I think there's a lot we can do to be a little more ready, to have a little bit more stuff. I mean, I think, dust masks and all that different stuff that you're going to see, even if we're working in home improvement projects, are going to be a little more important.
Well, and it's just all about being able to sustain yourself.
Yeah.
It's just not having to rely on much of anywhere else in the case that something happens, such as water filtration, stuff, and just all sorts of stuff like that.
Well, here's the thing, too. And I want you just to kind of think about this because, we we have people, internationally that listen to the show. But I want you to think about what the hazards are in your area. For us here in Portland,
Earthquakes
is a big one. Big one. We have windstorms too, but windstorms will take power out for maybe a week tops, and then they get it figured out. You know, earthquakes, yeah, we're going to have a big one one day, and it doesn't matter if you're in Seattle or Portland or anywhere here on this side of the mountains, we're good. That's what's going to happen. It's
bound to happen.
That's the one here, yeah. You know, and if you're listening to us on the coast, yeah, you could have some other issues out there with that kind of stuff. We also have, volcanoes too. But nonetheless, those usually have some warning to them because we're much better at predicting that kind of stuff. But if you're out in the Midwest, in the Midwest, you've got tornadoes, you've got big winter freezes. You know, on the East Coast, you've got hurricanes, and in the central states, we've got tornadoes and stuff. So there's lots of different things. I want you to think about what those are and make sure that you've got the right stuff for it. If you've got tornadoes and hurricanes, is your house ready? Is it bolted to the foundation? Do you have a place to go hide? Do you have all those things? Do you have enough food for a couple of weeks until people can help you? Because, that's the one thing I think we all should all pay attention to is that right now, up until this, most people here in the U.S. had a fairly big blind faith that, if we don't have food, someone's going to help us. We realize that maybe that help might not be around the corner like you think it is at the rate that you thought of.
Yeah, it can last as long as you think it can.
Yeah, it might be 2 weeks before somebody's doing airdrops with food.
Yep.
Hate to say it, could happen. Or it could be that's how long it takes to get there. So I don't want to make this sound any kind of negative, but I just really want people to think about having that extra water or the filtration method to do it, having that food, having the gas for your generator, and just having a good habit of keeping safe.
I mean, just the first thing that crossed my mind was it Panama City, Florida, the most last hurricane?
Yeah.
There was a picture of how many houses that you could tell were not bolted to the foundation.
Yeah.
In hurricane country.
Yeah. So these are things we all need to pay attention to. Hey, coming up here, I want you to stick around because we have one of my favorite segments, one of my favorite hours of the year here. And I say hour for the radio people, and it's not an hour for the podcast. But I want you to stick around because David Applebaum, Architect of the Stars, is going to be on. And we're going to talk about the house that he designed for the family of the Queen of England, so for royalty over there, 30 years ago, that ended up turning into the house that Elon Musk was talking with Joe Rogan last week on his podcast. And so we get into a big design statement with this, as well as talking about his time with Gene Wilder across the street. There's some great stories here, so I want you to make sure and pay attention to this. Now, we can't get all that show in, so make sure that you can turn around and listen to this next Wednesday. Grab the podcast, because we're going to have it there.
The midweek special.
That midweek special, because I'm going to put all of it up there so you can hear it. But for right now, this is going to be, three quarters, maybe 5/8 of the conversation. We'll be doing that as soon as Around the House returns. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vaughn.
And you're listening
to Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.